Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11. And I want to say again, thank you all for the suits that you purchased for me here a few weeks ago. I got one on today. They finally got them all done and back and all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to thank you for that. Luke 11. And then we're going to turn to one other passage that is I'm going to use the word a parallel passage. It would be worded much the same way. Good, we are ready. Luke 11, we're going to read the first four verses together. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Here is recorded very much the same passage, but I want to move up to verse number 7. And we'll read through verse 13, and I want you to see this. But when you pray, use not, I want you to look at these next two words, vain repetitions. If you mark in your Bible, that would be a good spot to underline. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that ye shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, look at me, if you will. Religion and denominationalism have too much influenced Baptist thinking. I spend a good deal of time trying to unteach what good Baptist people have put into their brain that is not right. I spend a good time because we listen to Christian, quote-unquote, Christian radio. We read, quote-unquote, Christian books. We have listened to non-denominationalists. We've listened to denominational preachers and think, well, they're talking about God. They're talking about the Bible. How bad could it be? And we have perverted our brains to where Scripture doesn't mean anything to us anymore. We have accepted the term the Lord's Prayer as Matthew 6 and Matthew chapter 11. But I want you to notice, God says, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetition. And guess what? The very next, there's one verse in between, and they start into what is the Lord's Prayer. In denominational churches all over our land, they will start their church service or at their church service, and the people will recite every church service, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thinking that they're spiritual. God said, don't use vain repetitions. God said, it's not something for you to chant, not something for you just to say. It's not to be used so that you can be heard praying. That's exactly what Jesus himself said. He said, there is a model, there is an outline of prayer. In Luke 11, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Notice they said, teach us to pray. Lord, don't teach us a prayer. It wasn't teach us a prayer. It was teach us how to get a hold of God like you do. How do you pray and get answers to God? Teach us how you do that, Jesus. Now, I do not call this the Lord's Prayer. I call it Jesus's outline for prayer. I've heard it called the model prayer. I've heard it called a few other things. Doesn't matter. I'll call it for our study tonight, Jesus's outline for prayer. Now, this was the outline he gave us himself. Now, I'm going to teach it to you for just a little while. Then I'm going to show you something about it that I promise you, you have not seen before. And it will turn you upside down, inside out, and revolutionize your life. Now, why did Jesus use this format to teach him to pray? Let me show you what I mean. How many of you know what the seven colors of the rainbow are? Raise your hand. All right. Most of you would remember it because there was a little outline somebody taught you. Roy G. Biv. How many of you have ever heard of that before? Ah, that's an outline: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. That's how you remember the seven colors of the rainbow. Whether it was a teacher or a mom, you say, how do you know all those? I know them here. I can't see them all, but I know what they are. Those of you that have learned to read music, if you read the treble clef, lines and spaces. Spaces spell face in treble clef, F-A-C-E. The lines, E-G-B-D-F, every good boy deserves fudge, or every good boy does fine. In the bass clef, it's the spaces are all cows eat grass, A-C-E-G, and G-D-B-F-A, good boys deserve fudge always. Say, why do you go through that? Because that's how you memorize what those are. There's a little alliterative, a little outline to remember what those things are. I got down to where you live, amen? Now, Jesus never intended, and he told us in Matthew chapter 6, don't pray this as a prayer all the time. Don't use it as a vain repetition. And yet, what we call religious people, what we call denominational people, will get up and recite it, and we think it's so spiritual. And God's gagging. God said, you missed it. That's like you getting up and you see a rainbow, and as all you say to your children is, Roy G. Biv, Roy G. Biv, Roy G. Biv, Roy G. Biv. And they're thinking, what in the world happened to Mom? She's got a stutter problem. Maybe she's having a stroke. Maybe she, you know, something's loose up there. You know, somebody slap her or something. You say, why? Because every day you're going to get up and say, Roy G. Biv, hoping you see a rainbow. That's exactly what God thinks of as people chant this prayer, as people recite this prayer. He was teaching his disciples an easy way to remember this outline. Let me show you what the outline means. There are seven steps to it. Number one, we should adore how wonderful God is. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, when you start praying, why don't you butter God up? Why don't you tell God how good he is? Why don't you thank God for what he is? When's the last time before you asked him for something, you said, God, thank you for being love. Thank you for being all powerful. Thank you for being all knowing. Thank you for being able to be everywhere at once and listen to me and listen to people on the other side of the world and listen to all of my friends and listen to every human being that is praying to you that is saved right now. And yet you've tuned in to just me giving you and me just time together. When's the last time you spent time with God like that? When's the last time you thanked him for his mercy? When's the last time you thanked him for his strength? When's the last time you thanked him that he was faithful even when you weren't faithful? Say, what is that? That's buttering God up. Ladies, that's like you buttering your husband up because you want something. That's how you taught your teenage daughter to walk up and put her arm through your arm and say, Daddy, you're the greatest. Okay, what do you want? Here it comes. Oh, I don't want nothing, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. When's the last time you did that to God? You know, God wants that too. When's the last time you thanked him for what he does? When's the last time you looked at God and said, thank you for keeping my ugly carcass out of hell? Lord, you not only kept my carcass out of hell, you're giving me a home in heaven. You washed my sin away. I'll never be judged for my sin. There is no, therefore, no condemnation. God, I not only do you not remember it, it's not recorded, it's not even erased, it's gone. God, when's the last time you took time before you asked him for what you want that you told God how good he is? Why not spend some time before you rub the bottle to get the genie to pop out, to get the request that you want? Why don't you tell God how good he is for a while? So many of us think God is the welfare line. We just ask him and he's bound to give it to us. So, number one, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means spend time telling God how good he is. Number two. Second point. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Second thing, you yield your will to his will. You yield your will to his will. Say, God, this is what I want, but if it's not what you want, make my want or change. If it's not what I should have, then I shouldn't have it, and I don't want it. God, help me to yield my will to your will, not your will to my will. I had a pastor call me this week. God bless him. He's going through a little battle. He called me and said, Brother Bush, I need to talk to somebody. He said, before I do something stupid, I said, well, get the gun out and shoot it. He said, that's the problem. I'm wanting to. I said, ooh, he's serious. He was having trouble, and I talked to him. I literally, in 5 minutes, preached my last Wednesday night Bible study to him. I said, I'm not trying to preach at you, but let me help you. He said, that's okay. I'm in my office. I can make an altar out of my chair. He said, I know I'm not spiritual enough to make the right decision. He said, that's why I called you. I said, you're spiritual enough to get help. I said, that shows an awful lot. Guess what? He just had to yield his will to God's will. That's all it was. Guess what? We all have flesh. And our flesh gets in the way. Our flesh really gets in the way. Especially when you're hungry. Man. You never realized how much food is around you till you're not supposed to eat it. Good night. You can't drive down the road without seeing it, smelling it. Can't go home without seeing it or smelling it. You can't go nowhere without seeing it or smelling it. And if you're not seeing it and smelling it, you're thinking about it. Say, why? Because I'm not supposed to have it right now. Now, I'm not starving myself to death, but if I'd grow 6 inches, I wouldn't have had to lose any weight. Brother Mark, you'd have to be about 9 foot tall. Donnie, you'd have to be about 10 foot tall. Just take care of that big head of yours. All right? Now, you need to tell God you'll do what he wants over what you want. When's the last time you told God you'd do what he wanted, not what you wanted? Say, how do I know what he wants? Read that book. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. He will never answer a prayer contrary to that book right there. Never. Say, never, Brother Bush? Never. Because the moment he does, he doesn't line up with his own word, and God is a liar. Well, I don't know if I can go through this. Guess what? You can, or God's a liar. Because God said he would not give you more than you can handle. Now, there's been times I kept saying, are you sure? But I made it through. That means sometimes when you can't see as straight as you're supposed to, you get to somebody that can called God's man. Thank God that other pastor called me this week and said, I need help. I'm looking at this through my eyes and not God's. Tell me what to do, Brother Bush. There was a lot of wisdom in that. He knew his eyes were clouded with his flesh. And by the way, he said, he must not be a real spiritual pastor. He is a human being like you and me. Good thing is, he didn't act on it sometimes like you do. You know, God needs to know you'll do what he wants, even if he does not agree with you. Listen to that statement again. Are you willing to do what God wants, even if you don't agree with God? Listen, I was an assistant pastor for 24 years. Do you think I agreed with every decision of the people I worked for?
No.
Say, what did you disagree with them about? That's none of your business. I did it anyway. And nobody knew I disagreed. Here's the difference. When you disagree, you let everybody know you disagree. I remember a decision I made with when I worked with Brother Owens. I was one of two that disagreed. Eight agreed, two disagreed. Well, the vote was 8-2. Guess what? I lost. I backed it 100%. To this day, my wife doesn't even know what I disagreed about. It got so bad. Not with me. But one of the other men thought I was being disloyal because I disagreed. Came to my office and was chewing on me. I called him. I said, got a minute? He said, sure. I told him what the problem is. He said, both of you, get to my office now. I said, let's go, Doc. He got in the other man's face and said, don't you challenge his loyalty. He has the right to an opinion. He said, I promise you this. Outside this room, nobody else will know he disagreed with it. He said, I've been through enough of these with Brother Bush. I'll promise you nobody will know. Guess what? You still don't know. And never will. Say, why? Because my will didn't match with his. Okay, I got outvoted. Guess what? My will matched his. If it was a wrong decision, guess what? He goes down for the fall, not me. You'd find out at work it would go a whole lot better if you'd work with your boss that way. You know, your boss is going to be more apt to ask your opinion about things. If he knows, if he disagrees with your opinion, nobody else is going to find out, and you're going to do your job anyway. Everybody doing okay? Okay, I'm stepping as lightly as I can, but it's kind of like using 30-pound sledgehammers as I walk. So many times it's our opinion, my opinion. Well, I don't. Why don't you get, you got an eye problem, all right? We're looking at it through our eyes. Why don't you ask God to look at it through his eyes? Okay, number three. So we have adore God, tell him how wonderful he is. Number two, yield to his will over your own will. Number three, ask for daily bread. That's not one of these little periodicals that's got a little devotionalette that has a cute little story and a poem at the end every day either. Okay? Daily bread. What is that? Your daily needs. You know, God wants you to daily ask him for what you need today. Did you notice why the Jews were in the wilderness with Moses? They had to go out every day and get their food. They had to go out every day except on Friday. Friday they picked up 2 days worth because Saturday was the Sabbath. And in the Jewish custom, then they were not to work. That was the only time they did not go out. 6 days a week they had to go out. By the way, if they got too much, it turned rotten and spoiled. Stunk up the house. If they had too little, too bad, so sad. You're on a diet. Say, well, I want it all stored up in the cabinets. Sometimes God wants you to go to him every day. fellas, as you go to work, and ladies, as you go to work, why don't you thank God for your job? And some of you ought to pray that you keep your job as you drive to work every day. Say, well, I'm doing well, Brother Bush. I'm making good money. Good. You ought to be the one begging God to keep it coming. Boy, that's good stuff. Pay that the house bill gets paid. Pay that the light bill gets paid. And the heating bill and all the other bills that you've incurred. You pray every day that they get paid. You know, you might have food in the cupboards, ladies, but you ought to pray every day that God keeps providing. You know, God does not need to give you more than today. Did you hear that statement? God does not need to give you more than today. Hey, let's go to the Philippines and find out how people would like to live. Thousands of people lying dead. There are villages that are totally gone that we'll never even know about. There is no way they will have an accurate count of how many people died. You have to understand, there are places over there that are so third world, they didn't even know there was a storm coming. There are villages all the way up and down in those mountains that literally got washed away and blown away. People didn't know what was happening, and they literally drowned and died, and nobody knows where they are. There are people landlocked back in there that have no water. They didn't have anything before it started, and they have even less than nothing now. And you want to complain about the situation you're living in? Number four, confess your sins. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Folks, I'm going to make a statement here. You commit your sins one at a time, you ought to confess them one at a time. Now, that doesn't mean you come to the church and sit in the telephone booth and pay me money to tell me what sins you did. Number one, I don't want to know. Number two, you couldn't pay me enough to sit there long enough to listen to it. Number three, I got too much work to get done to listen to the long list that you have. And number four, I'd be in the booth next to you because I got to tell somebody all mine too. Can I tell you something? You say, well, I confessed all my sins. I said, God, forgive us for my sin today. No. You didn't commit them all at one time. Confess them by name. Tell God the exact wrong that you did do. By the way, you say, well, I don't know what they all are. Then ask God to reveal it to you. He'll tell you. And it's not always what you did do, it's what you did not do. Or what you should have done that you did not do. Boy, that's good stuff. Okay, parents, look at me for a second. If you have children, you ought to listen to this next statement. Parents, you ought to ask God to catch your kids doing wrong. Man, my kids hate hearing me say that. My boys used to say, Dad, quit praying that. I said, why? Because God answers. You're right. You better pray to God that somebody catches your kids doing wrong before it gets worse. Instead of complaining that somebody saw your child do something wrong, you ought to thank God God caught them so that you can fix the problem early. I'm trying to help you, parents. It's not always comfortable when somebody comes to you and says, do you know what your kid just did? Trust me, they can't tell you something they did not say about mine. I promise you that. Good night. My kids grew up in church. They didn't burp or pass gas without somebody knowing before I did. You know what your kid did? It's hard telling. I'm sure you're about to tell me. Now, wait a minute. You say, were you upset about that? There's times it was less desirable than others. You say, did you always believe it? Knowing my kids? Yeah. I had to at least investigate it. I don't think those people were out to get me. I looked at it as God was catching them so I could catch them before they did wrong. I was still living in Indiana. No lie. Cross my heart. Hope Brother Logue dies. We had a window in our garage, and I was walking from the house to the garden was behind the garage, and I looked in, just as I was going by that window, Brother Hawkins, and I could see one of my boys in there doing something, and he didn't know I saw him. I just kept walking. I got around back. I beat on the back of the garage. I said, "Hey, don't you be in there doing such and such." Got real quiet. He come back around the corner. He said, "How'd you know?" I said, "How'd I know what?" He said, "How'd you know I was doing such and such?" I said, "God told me." He said, "That's weird, Dad." It scared him for years. Dad saw it and he couldn't see it. There's no one. He better not listen to this one online. I never did tell him what the secret was. Can I tell you something? He thought God caught him. It kept him straight for a couple hours. Amen. Yeah, learn to pray that God catches your children before they get too far away. By the way, tell your sins only to God. You don't need to tell anybody else. Did you catch that? Tell them only to God. Say, "Well, how do I take out a piece of paper, and every day, when it's time to get to this part of your prayer life, you write down what sins you've committed. And I mean write them down. And you read it off the paper." Say, "Oh no, you mean write them down?" Yeah, some of you need a tablet. Stenopad daily. Okay? And I mean, as soon as you're done, tear it up and throw it away or flush it or do whatever you got to do with the thing, but get rid of it. Say why? Because once you've confessed it, it's gone. Gone, gone, gone. Number 5, pray for your enemies and your critics. Verse number 4, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." Last week I taught on that very point. Praying for your enemies. Prayer that makes you love. Can I tell you something? Pray for good for people that do you wrong. Do you know it's time to be big boys and big girls. It's about time we quit criticizing people that criticize us. Did you hear that statement? It's time we start praying for their good. It's time to stop praying for evil to happen to them because you are no better and you're just as evil as they are then. Why don't you pray and ask God to stop the evil, but to help the evil person? I'm going to make a statement here some of you won't like. When I pray for people that have done wrong and done evil to me, I pray that they get right with God because there's still good they can do. They may not even want to do it near me. I don't care. As long as they go do good and help the cause of Christ, what matter is it? Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir. That's good.
I want my enemies to get right with God. I want my enemies restored with God. Do you? "Oh, I'm going to pray that 1,000 fleas infest their bed. I'm going to pray that all the stink bugs in Berkeley County crawl up their nose. God will get them." That's real spiritual, isn't it? This is no lie. I had a pastor contact me today. Had a question. Said, "You may choose to or not to answer this. But I need to know, is so-and-so attacking a friend of ours?" I said, "Yes." I said, and I've spent many hours with this person. And they said, "I knew you would not tell me on your own that I would have to ask specifically." I said, "My friend, I will never hold the truth back, but I will not talk evil of anybody. I cannot lie to you and not tell you the truth." I said, "But by the way, I am praying for that person to get right." He said, "I knew you would defend them somehow." I said, "I wish them no wrong. But you asked a question. I have to tell you the truth. Number six, and I'll hurry. The Bible says, and lead us not into temptation. When's the last time you prayed to stay away from even the temptation of sin? It doesn't say lead us out of sin. It says lead us not into temptation. Ask God to keep you away from even the temptation that will draw you away to do wrong. Boy, that's good stuff. If you have an eating problem like I did, punching too much pie in the pie hole, I have to pray as I walk into Sheets every day to go get my coffee that I not look at anything but the floor. Say why? Because I might stop. Oh, I can go look at it. No, I can't. Well, I could just think. No, I can't. Lust, when it is finished, bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. Here it is. And it's going to die. You know, you need to stay away from the path that leads to wrong. Hey, what websites do you go to that lead to other websites that you shouldn't go to? What places do you drive by that attract your attention that you should not go by, that bring thoughts that you should not think? That's one danger of social networking. You're dealing with people that you used to sin with, and you're going back and remembering things. Okay, moving on. Ask God to give you wisdom how to protect yourself and your family from temptation. Hey, parents, before you let your kid read a book, why don't you read it first? You mean I'd have to read a book? It's a children's book. What's wrong with it? Have you ever heard of anything called Harry Potter? Full of demonism and witchcraft. Some of the filth they watch on what they call cartoons nowadays. Some of the most vile, wicked, satanically influenced things on television today are cartoons. Sodomy is taught out like you would not believe. I'm talking about the games you let your teenagers play. The video games. And I'm not against all video games, but parents, you better get a handle on this thing. What music's being played on it? It amazes me. They have these, I don't even know the names of them, so don't criticize me, but they have these Street Fighter games. And you got prostitutes that their boys are fighting with, and they're dressed as prostitutes. Body parts hanging out, and they're fighting with women. Oh, that's a real good thing for your boys to be playing, isn't it? Grand Theft Auto. Oh, let's go play stealing cars. This is really fun. Where's our heads? Is all we're doing is teaching a generation to go do wrong. Boy, that's need said. Number next, deliver us from evil. You say, praying for people that do you wrong, but the Bible says, deliver us from evil. Now listen to this. That means you pray not to let bitterness to cause you to want to hurt somebody else. When evil comes your way, you ask God to deliver you to not become evil to the evildoer. That means you pray for the evil to stop around you. As people attack and as people do evil to me and have for 25 plus years, I have learned how to say, God, would you stop the evil? Stop the evil they're doing. Don't hurt that person. Don't hurt their family. God, give them a good day, but stop the evil that they're doing. Whatever it takes to stop the evil. Because that evil is hurting so many other people. Boy, that's good stuff. You may not be able to spend time with that person because of the evil they've done, even if they get right. But may I say this? They can still do some good. Everybody look at me for just a second here. I'm going to make a statement that hopefully will get under some of your craw. We're for the person that's had evil done against them and restoring them. We Christians are very weak at taking someone that has done evil and destroyed someone and restoring them. That person deserves to be restored as much as the person they attacked. Everybody doing okay? Now, it's not very likely that they're going to be restored in the same place. It doesn't work real well that way. But they both deserve the right to be restored. Boy, that's good. Now, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 17. This is my conclusion. But don't put your shoes on yet. John chapter 17, in my opinion, is what is the Lord's Prayer. John 17 is probably, and I would not fight you over this, I do know that according to John chapter 17, verse number 1, these words spake Jesus as he prayed. Okay, it says, these words spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Now look at me. That means he was praying. I believe this was part of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Whether you agree with where it was or not matters not to me. But look at me for a second here. This is a prayer of Jesus's. The entire chapter is Jesus praying. I got to thinking about that. I thought, I wonder how this works. Do you know that Jesus in John 17 follows the outline I just gave you? Let me show you what I mean. These words spake Jesus and said, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Look at me. Sounds like he's telling God how good and how powerful he is, doesn't it? Hallowed be thy name. Look at verse number 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whichsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Watch this. Look at verse number 8. For I have given unto them the words, circle that word, which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, that they believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Give us this day our daily bread. The Bible calls itself the bread of life. The words of God are the bread of life. And we are to go to it daily. Now, look at verse number 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep me through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Look at me. There was no sin in Jesus Christ. He couldn't confess his sin. But look what he did. He said, God, they're sinners. I'm paying their price. And I'm taking care of their sin debt, and you have to honor that. I have not lost any. They're in my hand. Mine are thine. Thine are mine. And we have not lost any but the son of perdition. He's the only one that has totally rejected you and could never even get saved. Verse 13. And now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might be joyful, might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Forgiving others. They've been hated, but God, they'll forgive as I've forgiven them. Watch this. Look at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from evil. Deliver us from temptation. Doesn't God have the power to take all the bad away from you and take you out of all the bad? He said, oh no, I need them here. But you'll get them through the temptation, God. Okay, everybody doing all right? Let's look at verse 16. They are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, sanctify or set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. They also may be one in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Deliver us from evil. Now look at me. If you went back to Matthew 6, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, the rest of the chapter talks about God glorifying, or Jesus glorifying God for how good he is again. 7-step outline Jesus gave us. Lord, teach us to pray. And then in John 17, the last recorded prayer on earth of our Savior, he followed it to the T. I guess it works. I guess if that's how he looked at things, it could help us. Roy G. Biv? All cows eat grass? Every good boy deserves figs? I'm on diet. Can't say fudge. Folks, Matthew 6, Luke chapter 11 is an outline. It's not a vain, repetitious prayer. And I got to thinking, if he gave us the outline, I wonder where Jesus ever used this thing. Well, we call it the Lord's Prayer, and I started looking at John 17, and I went, wow. He's following it. He actually followed the outline he gave us. Not only did he give it to us, but he showed us how to do it. Did you notice? He didn't start with, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. No, he just followed it as an outline. God gave us a simple 7-step outline for prayer. And he showed us how to use it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Prayer is not as hard as we make it out to be. We just got to die to our flesh. Say, I'm not sure what I would say. Well, God gave you an outline. You just fill in the blanks. They're there. Just fill in the blanks.